Donald Fehr, the executive director of the NHL Players Association, is with us on the line now. Hi, Donald.
Hi there. Good morning.
Are you a golfer?
Badly and not very frequently, but I actually, down at the draft, bashed my left foot, and I have a toe that isn't working, so today I am not a golfer.
How does that happen?
You get up in the middle of the night in a strange hotel room. That's how.
Stumbled around. Sounds like it was maybe a good time.
Yeah, well, not quite.
Well, when you get together an event like this, NHLPA Players Association having the golf tournament, is the mood one with everyone wants to talk business, or is it one to celebrate, hey, it was a pretty good year, things are moving the right way?
This is not a business day. This is a day in which people are happy. They want to play. They're glad to see one another. They're proud and happy to raise the money for charity. There's always a little competitiveness, as you would expect, between the players when they're out there. This is just basically a good, fun day that does a lot of good for people.
Donald Fehr with us here on Sportsnet 650. You know, I don't know if this falls into you guys as a players association all that much, but the federal government here in this country is set to legalize marijuana this October. You guys aren't subjected to recreational drug testing as it is it? Or, like, does that fall under, is that a concern or something that needs to be addressed?
It depends. Look, the short answer is that whenever you have testing agreements, whether they're for performance enhancing or whether they're for recreational use, you always have to pay attention to changing circumstances, changing culture, and in this case, changes in the law. But I don't expect it's going to be a major issue. We haven't had a major issue with that substance in this sport anyway.
Donald, as you sit overseeing the PA, salary cap goes up. Are you comfortable and happy where things are right now with the leagues and the players you represent?
I think that this time we got a nice increase in the cap. Escrow is finally beginning to come down. And those things are, you know, all to the positive. And it would be great if that trend, you know, would continue, but you have to take it year by year. This is the biggest increase in the cap we've had in several years.
John Tavares signs a big deal in Toronto. Everybody, it was fascinating to watch how this played out. But, you know, some said, hey, he's going home. He's playing where he wants. They front-end load the deal. But some say he left some money on the table. How does that sit with the PA?
Look, I have a very simple philosophy about this. You have individual contracting so that players can make individual decisions. And they can weigh in the balance all the things that might matter, where they want to live, where their family wants to live, what the tax structure might be, what the other opportunities might be, whether they have family around or not, you know, whether they like snow in the winter or whether they want to play in Phoenix. And they also have to make decisions as to, given where they'd like to play, what's a deal which is appropriate to get them there. And I don't second-guess players when they do that. That's the purpose of individual negotiating. I just wish John well. He's coming home. And from a selfish standpoint, it's going to be a lot of fun to walk across the street from the office and watch that team.
Donald, hockey players making $10, $11 million. They don't have the huge TV contract that the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA does. Is that a concern?
Well, of course it's a concern. You'd always like to have more revenue coming into the sport. That the revenue number is the single most important thing that determines the circumstances of players, and that's true in a cap sport or in a non-cap sport. But I think what we have to wait and see is as the NHL's existing agreements begin to expire, the NBC Comcast agreement has 2 or 3 years left, for example, we'll see how much growth you have in the value of those contracts. I, for one, and I know everybody that plays in this league, would very much like the NHL to begin to catch up to the other sports in revenue, and hopefully that'll begin to happen.
Well, I mean, we certainly saw the precedent, the landmark deal here for on this side of the border here with the massive rights deal that Rogers signed with the National Hockey League, which is more than double what you see in the United States. Donald Fehr with us here this morning on Sportsnet 650. You know, with all this revenue up and, you know, hockey-related revenue, Donald, tell me this. You guys, both you and the league, have an opportunity. There's a window that's about 14 months away right now, that effective September 1st, 2019, or by September 2019, you can basically opt out of the collective bargaining agreement that you guys have a year early. At this point in time, do you anticipate doing that?
I don't think anybody knows yet. The way it works is that contract runs 10 years, but either party can choose to end it after 8. And the mechanism for that is a notice that you send to the other side in September of 2019. If either side sends that notice, then the contract will end, but not until September 2020. And that's, you know, two more full seasons from now. The notion that players would have already determined what they want to do is simply wrong. Obviously, we've started talking to guys about it. We've talked about the issues. You describe the economic circumstances. You talk about what might be possible. And far more importantly than that, you ask them how they feel and what, if anything, they would like to change and to what degree. And we've begun those discussions last year, but the real critical internal discussions will take place over the course of the upcoming season. The target date for when you make a decision about what to do in September 2019, it is not for at least a year from now.
Donald, future Hall of Famer Gary Bettman, obviously thrilled with what took place in Las Vegas with the Golden Knights. Seattle appears to be on board, ready to go. Players see any of that expansion money that comes into the league?
The answer is yes and no. No, in the sense that the payments that are made go back to the owners and are distributed ostensibly for the purchase of player contracts and for purchase of an exclusive territory in which to play and for a share of the national television revenue and other revenue that NHLE generates. But what the players get, obviously, are the jobs. And if you have expansion and the team lasts, which we certainly hope it will and would expect that it will, then, you know, the players even out over time because they've got 23 more jobs, and those jobs, we hope, are perpetual.
Donald, the Olympics, no NHL players this year. I know a lot of people had problems with that. Can you give us an Olympic update? Where are you guys with the NHL on that?
The short answer is there were no NHL players in Pyeongchang. It's no secret that players felt, and I felt, that that was a mistake and a bit of a wasted opportunity. That's, you know, water under the bridge, over the dam, down the drain, whatever you want to say. And so now where we are is we have to figure out a way to address it going forward. We have games in Beijing in 2022. We have the next Winter Olympics after that, which will be awarded, if I remember the IOC calendar right, will be awarded sometime next year for 2026. Maybe they'll come back to North America. That would certainly be great. But in our discussions about international and about collective bargaining generally and marketing and promoting the game, we've made and would continue to make no secret of the fact that not only the players want to play in the Olympics and it's important to them, but we think properly utilized can be a great marketing and promotional tool for the league. The reason for that is really pretty simple. People watch Olympic sports because it's the Olympics that they would never otherwise watch. And you get a chance to expose your sport. And, you know, the trick with hockey, I think, is to expose it to people that have never seen it. Let them see the speed. Let them see the beauty. Let them see the intricacy of the skating and the constant 360-degree environment and the level of physicality and endurance and finesse that the players have to have. You know, that seems to me a good combination to attract fans. At least I hope so.
Donald, just in closing here, hockey-related revenue. HRR is like the new WTF or LOL in a lot of ways. Do you believe that the NHL fully discloses their HRR?
What we have is a process by which we get a lot of information. There are jointly appointed accountants which go through all the books. We have the right to review it internally, not only by our own accountants and financial people, but by auditors that we bring in, and we go through a long process. And we certainly hope we're seeing all of it. And so far, with the exception of the things we're still arguing with them about, which happens every year, you know, I think we are. But that is a subject which requires constant, constant scrutiny. And so as long as there is a cap system, I can't imagine the players giving up the rights that they would need to make as absolutely certain as they can that the agreements being adhered to the letter and to the spirit.
Thank you very much for this. I'm assuming that you'll be the one inducting Gary Bettman into the Hall of Fame this fall.
You know, it's funny. You talk about Hall of Fames. Halls of Fame, excuse me. I'm getting my English screwed up.
We do that well here on the show,
too. What is interesting is that in baseball and in hockey, you know, people that work for the union are sort of kept off to the side. And one of the great tragedies, I think, and one of the great insults is that Marvin Miller is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mm. My view is pretty simply that the three people that had the most impact on Major League Baseball in the 20th century were Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, and Marvin Miller. And Marvin Miller dominated the last half of the 20th century. I think I did a pretty good job following him for 20-odd years, but I was following him. I didn't create that world. And, you know, the same is true here. So my judgment is really pretty simple. I don't question that people are inducted. I wish them well. I offer my congratulations. But the only person I have ever introduced for induction into a Hall of Fame was Paul Beeston at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame. It was a lot of fun, but I don't expect to have that opportunity again.
Make sure nobody does a Phil Mickelson there if you're walking around the golf course as the commissioner, and make sure the ball is stopped when they're putting it on the green there. And, Donald, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, just so you should know, one of the things you learn when you're in a Players Association capacity working for the players is you can tell them lots of things, but you can't tell them anything about how to play hockey or any other sport that they're playing.
Fair enough.
Thanks,
right,
Donald.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.